For you, you witness it for the person on your road who don't know that he can do it. They ain't been through nothing yet. But Grandma say all your days ain't come in yet, amen? And any man born under a woman, we know right now you got a few days and they're full of trouble. So something coming your way. So we just want to make sure you know who gonna do it. He's a wonderful Savior. That I know. I really do not know what I would do without Jesus. I really don't know what I would do without that name, without His Spirit. A lot of us just go through pure D hell in life. Stress is hell. Meeting standards is hell. Trying to impress people who ain't impressive themselves is hell. Those of you who got to go through doctor visits and the doctor don't know what's going on with you. That becomes hell. Seeing one person get healed and delivered and you still got your burden. That's hell. Oh, but I want to thank God that on that Saturday he left that cross and went down the hill. And I'm by myself right now, CJ. Even if you in hell right now, I ain't talking about the lake of fire hell. I'm talking about mental hell. He knows where you are. And He will even come find you on His day off. If you believe. Now, them little weep claps y'all just gave for Him, you can't come in here with that. Nope. All right. Y'all ready to go to Publix. My brothers and my sisters, as you know already, as February is Black History Month. March is Women's History Month. And having a daughter, it takes on greater meaning for me, and it has over the last few years. And we've tried to introduce you to some of the great women in the Bible, along with some of the great things that women are doing in our history. Because we are a majority African-American congregation, of course, I try to make sure that we understand what African Americans women are doing. We have an adopted two gentlemen, but Pookie and Ray Ray. Last year, I reminded you that black women are controlling the majority of major cities in our nation. You've got black female mayors in Washington, D.C., Charlotte, North Carolina, New Orleans, Louisiana, even as far away as San Francisco, California, and, of course, Atlanta, Georgia. But most of our major cities are now being headed by African-American females. And thank you so very much for that. I am most assured things go the way they should be, that there will be a sister on the ticket as the vice president. If they smart, they would do the right thing. Now, if Sister Michelle would just say okay to Brother Biden right now, it'd be over right. I'm going to tell the truth. If she said okay right now, it won't be no need for no election. Just go ahead and let them move on in. I don't know what she's waiting for. We just need to put that in the atmosphere. But our sisters are finally getting the due they deserve. If you have not seen the Harriet Tubman movie, steal your neighbor's login and password, and make sure you watch it. So black women have been strong since day one. they are the strongest subset of gender and ethnicity God has ever made. Because no one has been subjugated to the hell, the discrimination, and the exploitation, unlike African American women. And the sad reality is that what the society is not talking about, all these young women who are being driven and kidnapped into the sex slave trade, the majority of them are young black girls. But our society doesn't care. Help us, Lord. They don't care. And so we don't hear about it as much as we should. And that's why we've got to take a close eye on our children, and especially our daughters. I want to introduce something that happened last week that I couldn't make up and could not create, even though God had already told me what I was going to do with, but in his own way, on his own time. I want to introduce you to three African-American females who are not in politics. These sisters making money. Put up the first one, Tim. This is Ramon Hood. She is now the CEO of FedEx. She was named CEO of FedEx last week. She began as the company's receptionist when they were in Arkansas, when the man started the company. When the man, I can't think, he don't matter what his name is, but he started a little Pony Express in Arkansas that grew into FedEx. And she was one of his first receptionists at the office in Arkansas. And she kept having all these great ideas about how they could do stuff better. And so one of the things y'all need to understand, no matter who you are, if you got an idea, never be ashamed to share it with your boss. They might say no. You might feel like you're stepping out of your lane, but as most of you know, by about 3 months later, they'll make their idea, your idea, their idea, act like they thought about it themselves. But thank God for the... Thank you, Lord. But this woman wasn't shame and wasn't scared. All right? And she rose and rose and rose and rose and rose. I ain't never heard no story of nobody going from the receptionist to the of FedEx in Memphis. That big time, y'all. I don't know what y'all can. I don't care how y'all think about it, but that big time. Next. This woman is Roslyn Brewer. Roslyn was the former CEO of Sam's Club. Now, it might look like she took a demotion because she's going from chief executive officer to chief operating officer, but she's now the chief operating officer of Starbucks. All right, that's the difference between going from McDonald's to Cookout. So don't think that's a demotion. She's number two in charge of caramel latte, soy, no whip. Hot. That big time, y'all. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but this big time. Because if she the COO now, one day, just like, help me somebody, get your yet praise on. Get your yet praise on with your coffee, baby. Get your yet praise on. She going to be the boss one day. Ain't that right about that coffee, girl? You better sell that coffee. We'll never know what might happen. And then last week, this sister here, her name is Erica James. She's currently the dean of the business school at Emory. All right, last week she was appointed dean of the Wharton Business School at the University of Pennsylvania. Wharton is the number one business school in the world. It's bigger and better than Harvard. I said it's bigger and better than Harvard. And y'all sister, come on somebody. Come on haters. Y'all sister is now head of the number one business school in the world. I need y'all to do is find their telephone number, find their email, and give them my text-to-give number, okay? These sisters, you know, we've been hearing a lot, and many of us who ain't Pentecostal probably laughed, and y'all Episcopalians probably laughed about shift. We heard it for years in the atmosphere. Shift. There's a shifting. You know, there's indeed a shifting going on in the atmosphere. Not only is it going on in the atmosphere, it's showing up on planet level. And that leads me to my scripture and what I want to talk about this Sunday morning. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young women were lovely and beautiful. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Anybody in here got a daughter? If you're a man and you got a daughter, stand up. If you are a man, if you are a father, I want to talk about girl dads. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about girl dads today. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. After Kobe's death, this nomenclature and this hashtag girl dad went worldwide. Fathers of daughters began posting pictures of themselves on social media with the hashtag girl dad, based upon Kobe's love and support for his four daughters. The nomenclature and the hashtag girl dad actually came out of an interview that he had with an ESPN reporter by the name of L. Duncan in 2018. In 2018, Kobe was there in Connecticut in ESPN headquarters for a conversation, and L. Duncan was pregnant at the time and obviously showing. And Kobe asked L. what was she was having, and she reported that she was having a girl. Kobe went on to tell her that he and Vanessa were trying to have a fourth child. And, of course, L. assumed that since he already had three daughters, that he wanted to have a boy. And Kobe said, no, I'm hoping it's another girl. Matter of fact, I have 5, 6, 7, or 8 girls because I am a girl dad. He said, I, like most men, you know, want to have a son. And I tell you, don't mind reminding you that when Leah was born, I was a little upset. I looked twice. We decided not to learn the baby's gender during the pregnancy. We wanted to be surprised, and Lord knows was I surprised, because my brother got two girls, and I felt pressure on me to have a boy, because the Levy name will die. That's why you don't call me Reverend Johnson. The Levy name, that's the name, that's the name. Don't call me Reverend Johnson. The Levy name would die unless I had a boy. And so there was a lot of pressure on the brother to have a boy. And when they brought out Leah, I said, put her back in. Because this ain't what you promised me. But I don't know what I would do now without my little angel. And every man in here that has a girl understands what I'm talking about. He don't care nothing about you. She gonna get it all. That there's a special connection between a father and a little girl. There's no hug like your daughter's hug. There's no smile like your daughter's. There's no help like your daughter's help. There's no joy. There's just, you know, Leah still runs to the door when I come in after work. Ian just lays there. What up? It's just something special about having a little girl. Well, in the book of Esther, we meet a man by the name of Mordecai. He is the son of Jair, who is of the tribe of Benjamin. What is interesting about this case is that Mordecai is not Esther's biological father. Mordecai is actually biologically Esther's uncle. But because both of her parents die, and we don't know the situation of their death, Mordecai brings her into his home and raises her as his own daughter. And they had to be African American, because you know, as African Americans, if you sit at my table three times and eat my food, you my child. We are good at bringing our own family in, because some of y'all might be even right now raising somebody who ain't biologically yours. We just have an affinity and a love ethic that if you need love, you need to be affirmed. You need a table to eat at. We're going to be. We don't turn you away. And so the Bible says that Mordecai raised Esther as his own daughter. And you don't need no blood and you don't need no paperwork. To raise somebody as your own child. Once that child calls you mama or daddy, they're yours for life. Amen. And so they are father and daughter. Well, Mordecai is exiled during the Babylonian exile. He's exiled into Babylon, which then becomes Persia, that's now Iran. Okay? Babylon was Babylon. It then became Persia and is now Iran. The king at the time during this story is Xerxes, and Xerxes the one is king of Persia. And the story goes that he had a queen by the name of Vashti. One night, Mordecai got drunk. And in this time, the king and the queen didn't stay in the same bedroom, kind of like 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They had separate bedrooms, and the king had to beckon you, had to give you permission to come into his bedroom. Well, one night he gets drunk and he asks Vashti to come into his bedroom, and she would not come. This is the Bible. He gets upset to the point where he texts his boys and asks his boys what I'm supposed to do, because she won't come in my room and I'm the king. And the boys reply, whoa, ho. You got to solve this, because if our wives find out, I'm in the text. I'm in the text. You can read it when you get home. If our wives find out she don't cook, if our wives find out she no longer does clothes, if our wives find out that she don't do nothing in the home no more, it's going to be hell for all of us. So you got to clear this thing up right now. Because if the queen won't do it and you the king, just imagine what's going to happen down with us peasants. The worst thing that, oh, let me not filter. So he deposes Vashti. Now, Vashti better be happy she ain't married Henry VIII of England. Because she had married Henry VIII of England, she would have been beheaded. Good, we company now. So only thing he really does is just take her crown, kicks her out the castle. But then he has a contest for a new queen. He calls all of his handmaidens and has his handmaidens start a contest. They create what's called a harem, and they bring all the virgins around who wanted to be in this contest to be the new queen. And one of the things that they had to do was they had to be pampered and trained for a whole year. It's a contest to be the new queen of Persia. Now, y'all new women, independent women, y'all ain't going to be able to wrap your brains around none of this. And I understand that. It's a new day. But they actually had a contest to replace Vashti. And each virgin, and again, don't be kind of shocked by that virgin aspect because you're kind of thinking, hey, why they had to be a virgin? Well, everybody was back then. I know it's new and novel in 2020 that you can find a virgin. But everybody was back then. Stay on your best behavior. Can't be but one comedian at a time. And they had to go, y'all, through 12 months of pampering and training and perfuming. 12 months in this harem of learning how to be a queen. 12 months of having their skin rubbed with myrrh and lotioned and perfume, and had to go to classes of training of how to like charm school, had to, how to act right and how to be a queen. 12 months of having to learn how to be a woman. Now, I understand 2020, y'all, like, ain't no way in the world, but if you ain't got your own hair on right now, if you ain't got your own nails on right now, if you ain't got your own face on right now, if your face come off after you leave church, don't be no hypocrite. Because some of y'all done put on all that stuff and you ain't vying for nothing. So Mordecai puts his daughter in the contest. He felt that there was something special about Esther, and that her beauty and her countenance would qualify her to be in the contest. She puts her with Haggai, and Haggai trains her for a whole year how to be a queen. Well, one night, Esther gets her chance to be with the king. And interesting enough, you got to read your Bible, Erica, that every virgin was allowed to bring one thing into the bedroom with the king. I'm going to leave that right there. I ain't going to try to figure out what that was. But everybody was allowed to bring something into the bedroom with the king to impress the king. But Esther was the only one that didn't bring nothing but herself. Stop bringing your representative on that first date. Stop bringing all your degrees and especially all your pain with past relationships. How you going to try to get in a new relationship if you can't get past your past relationship? Esther did not bring anything into the room but herself and her real, true, and authentic self. And the Bible says that the king found favor with Esther and crowned her as his new queen. Now, y'all probably think, because y'all been in the Me Too movement, that Mordecai, and I don't want to use that word, but Mordecai, you know, kind of pimped his daughter. I can't think of no other way to put it, but I want you to watch what God is doing. God's got a plan. Tell your neighbor, I don't do this a lot, but tell your neighbor, God's got a plan. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Even though Mordecai sent his daughter into the palace, Mordecai stayed at the gate of the palace every day. This good father came to the gate of the palace every day. And every day he would ask somebody, how my girl doing? Every day when she was even being pampered, when she was training, and even after she became queen, this good daddy was at the gate every day. How my girl doing? I don't care where your daughter is. I don't care if she's in college. I don't care if she's married with 20 children. Every day this father said, how my baby doing? Just want to make sure you're doing okay. And because he stayed connected to his daughter, watch God. Because he stayed connected to his daughter, watch God. One day while he's just sitting at the gate to the palace, he overhears two men who had been castrated. There was a whole lot right there. whole lot right there, whole lot right there. They've been castrated, so they mad already. They've been castrated, and so they can't mess with none of the king's women. And they ain't happy with the king no how, because he done castrated them, so they can't mess with his. Oh, y'all, it's, okay, you're learning. Okay, are we in class? And so he overhears the eunuchs say they going to kill the king. Mordecai gets word to Esther, let the king know that two of his eunuchs, two of his men, two of his security guards are going to try to kill him. And she gets word to Mordecai, and before they can kill him, he has them killed. Tell your neighbor, God's got a plan. He then realizes, the king Xerxes then realized, you know, I need a better security team. And so he hires this guy named Haman to now be head of security. Well, Haman has got his own agenda. Not only does he want to be head of security, he just want to be head. And he tricks Xerxes to allow him not only to be head, but to have everybody bow down to him. And if you know the story, Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. And so Mordecai, because he's a Jew, only will bow down to God. And he will not bow down to Haman. Haman then goes to Xerxes and say, I got one man and all of his people, they refuse to bow down to me because of their God. I need your permission to kill him and all of them. And Xerxes gives him permission. Tell your neighbor, God's got a plan. Esther never tells Xerxes she's a Jew. God is always going to have somebody on the inside undercover. See, you don't know who undercover in your neighborhood. You don't know who undercover in your job. You don't know who undercover as an undercover agent, not for the devil, but an undercover agent for God looking out for you. I wish I had somebody here who know that God got angels all, around you. Angels already and kept around you. God always got undercover angels protecting you. So Haman gets permission to kill Mordecai. Esther finds out about it, tells Mordecai what's about to happen. Mordecai then tells his daughter because they have a relationship. Oh, God. You got to have open lines of communication with your children. You know, I read the other day, CJ, about all these middle school parents who don't look at their children's cell phones, and when the principal calls them in to look at their child's cell phone because the child won't give up their cell phone, they find all these naked pictures and all these salacious texts, and they don't have no idea what their children are doing. Last time I checked, you paid for that cell phone. Last time I checked, that Verizon account in your name. Last time I checked, you better know what the password is. You can't let no middle school chap tell you that you can't look at their phone. And matter of fact, when you at dinner, instead of everybody be on their phone, why don't y'all switch phones? That's what you need to do. Y'all need to, yes, switch phones. Everybody look at everybody. Oh, about to get some people in trouble tonight. There's going to be a whole lot of racing between now and dinner. But you've got to have open lines of communication with your children. As crazy as I sound, you can blame me. Well, everybody got their own parenting skill. But my children know if they tell me the truth, they don't get in trouble. I don't care what they do. Tell me the truth, me and God are going to work that thing out. You lie to me, you got hell to pay. Because that's how God works. Come on, witness. Come on, somebody who knows the Lord. If you tell God all about it, if you tell God the truth, he'll help you out. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll look past you. And so they've got an open line of communication. So he says, you got to now tell Xerxes, you're a Jew. So the Bible says that one day while he was on his throne, she hides kind of in the corner just so he could see her in the corner of his eye. Y'all ain't going to like this woman, but at this day and time, the king had to give you permission to talk to him. I know y'all don't like that because y'all ain't going to like this, but I'm in the word. I don't care what y'all want to say. I'm in the word. I've been hired to preach the word, not what you want here. And so the king sees her in the corner of his eye, and he holds out what's called a scepter, which gives her permission. Do they even make them? I don't think they even make them no more. And so she goes and tells the king what Haman is about to do. And she realizes and reveals to the king, not only is Haman going to kill my daddy, not only is Haman going to kill all the Israelites, Haman about to kill me too. Because I am a Jewish woman. Haman had already built the gallows to hang Mordecai. And the same gallows that were used to kill or try to kill Mordecai, after the king finds out that Haman's going to try to kill his wife, those same gallows were then used to hang Haman. Everybody who's trying to commit homicide with your destiny is really committing suicide with their soul. Let me say that one more again because that sounded good. Everybody who's trying to commit homicide with your destiny is really committing suicide with your soul. Every hater who has tried to stop you or block you or get in your way from what God has got for you, number one, they can't do it no how, because God about to make your enemy your footstool. I wish I had a witness in here. And God is going to do some things in your life. Anytime you got a hater, God is going to block that thing on your behalf. God got a plan. Where it appeared Mordecai was some way victimizing his daughter, God had a plan to make sure that she was on the inside to save her people. And I believe in my heart of hearts that each one of our daughters, God has a plan for. And that's why we have got to push and prod our daughters, even when they don't want to do some things we ask them to do. Because come on, y'all, none of y'all would want to go through that 12 months of charm school know-how and go into this old man's room. Ain't nobody want to say nothing to me. But every now and then, God's got to make you a real parent and press your children to be the best that they can be. Because God has got a plan for your child. Your child can cure cancer. Your child can cure AIDS. Your child can go to the moon. But it takes good parents like Mordecai to say, even though you don't want to go to tutoring, even though you don't want to be on the team, even though you want to stop going to practice, even though you're mad you ain't become captain, you got to still do it because God has got a plan with your life. And I wish I had a couple of good parents in here that could help me give God praise today, that knowing that if you do what God has asked you to do, God will do the rest. God will do the rest, and God will save us and save this nation if we just pour into our daughters knowing. Can I get a witness up in here? And God's got a plan for their life. I'm done standing on your feet. I don't know why you sat back down. What you sat back down for? Once you stand up, you stay up in the back.